Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, dear God, that our souls have right now, dear Lord. God, we pray that you have mercy and make the most of it, dear Lord, that you would come by your Spirit and anoint in what is said and done, Lord. And God, you would help us to open up and receive your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, I guess I'll start off by saying I'm not claiming to be an artist. But draw a ladder on the board here and a person climbing the ladder with a hand behind them carrying a sack. And you pray for me. Thank the Lord to be here. And thank the Lord for His Word. And tonight I have a burden. It's been on my heart for a little while. And pray the Lord to bring it out in the right way. We want to look in Romans, the 6th chapter. And I want to ask you tonight, as we look into the Word of God, are you clinging to something? What are you carrying? We're all climbing a ladder. Our goal is heaven. That's where we're wanting to go. God's made it so that all you need to do, well, let me say it this way. Don't you find sometimes in life you have a task to do maybe and you're going about doing it, or maybe you see maybe your child doing that task or someone else doing that task and you go, you know, that could be so much easier. This doesn't need to be this hard. Maybe you're a little confused. Maybe you can't quite figure out, well, why is this so hard? Why am I struggling so much with this task before me? You know, it should be simple. I should be completed by now, and it should be over and done with. But yet it's not. And I can't seem to make it work. Whatever it is, I can't seem to make it work. Or, you know, maybe you... And so we wonder about that. And we go, what is it that's holding me back? Well, tonight, you know, living for the Lord, I have interesting ways of expressing my joy sometimes, so I'm trying to kind of control myself. But living for the Lord should not be a difficult thing, y'all. It should not be a difficult thing. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You have trials. You face things. You go through things. Things get hard sometimes. There are harder times than others. But there is victory. Oh, Lord, help me to be able to express it tonight as we look into His Word. The Lord didn't make this salvation to be something that weighs us down. Amen. Tonight, as you go through the trials and whatever you're facing, or just life, God didn't make this salvation to be something that weighs you down in life. If that is what you are experiencing, then there's a good chance that you're holding on to something. that there's something weighing you down in your walk. If you're stumbling, and we all find sometimes we do, for different reasons. But if you're not finding the victory, Brother Clinton, you mentioned that there are mistakes in life. The Bible says He chastens those whom He loves. And that tells me then that that means I'm going to mess up at times. I'm going to make mistakes. But the Bible also teaches us that we're not mired in those things. That God's got victory for us. He's got the victory to conquer those things. That's why He chastens us. To show us, to say, this is what's holding you back. Now, I specifically have something tonight on my heart, and it's been mentioned. It was mentioned, Brother Clinton, you just mentioned it. Brother Clint mentioned it last night. God did not make this salvation, this ladder that you're climbing, to be one where you carried your sin with you as you climbed it. That's not, as Brother Clint said, that's what we hear a lot in the world. This salvation, you just carry your sin with you. As you go up this ladder, y'all, sin is heavy. And it will make you stumble. And tonight, if you're holding on to sin in your life for some reason, if there's a sin or there's something ahead of you that's binding you down, it's going to make, you're not going to be able to climb this ladder. It will weigh you down. And what does it say in the Bible? In Hebrews, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. When the Lord saved you, He freed you from sin. Sin waits. Do not misunderstand. In the Lord, you have all the victory you need. But as a human, sin waits to beset you. If you're not vigilant, like we talked about, if you're not careful, sin waits to beset you. And sin is a heavy thing. The victories that you had in the Lord, if you are not careful in your life, and you begin to carry some sin with you, for lack of a better illustration, let's say it that way, you begin to carry that with you, it will weigh you down. It will bring you down. And my burden tonight is to spend some time in the Word of the Lord, looking clearly to understand and to reinforce, hopefully for us, but if not, to open up our eyes, to help make us realize that when you come to the Lord, and when you live for Him, you can't do it carrying a bag of sin in your life. This doesn't work. Jesus set you free. And He intends that you stay that way. Sin binds. It pulls you down. Maybe you don't know that tonight. And let me tell you, if you're going to come for salvation, you're going to have to come laying your sin down. It's not going to work if you don't come laying your sin down. You will not get salvation. There's so many things you pray for me to stay on track here tonight. The Lord has to help me. You can't, when you come to this altar, you're going to have to lay your sin on here. And you're going to have to leave it. And as you walk through your life, you're going to have to leave it. You left some sin here, but you know what? It's waiting. It didn't disappear from this world. Sin has not disappeared. Temptation has not disappeared. Satan has not disappeared from this world. That's coming. We get a new world that we can live in, a new heavens, a new earth. And Satan won't be there, and sin won't be there, and temptation won't be there. But this is not His world, but let's just say it that way. This is His time. This is His world. This is where He has a chance to work. And this is where He is working. So just as you can't get salvation unless you come and you lay down your sin, you're not going to keep it unless you go out and you lay it down. Let's say it in that aspect. You lay it down. Now, the best thing to do is to avoid it completely. But I have a burden tonight to speak clearly that maybe we become entrapped in something, or maybe there's something that snuck up in our life, like we talked about, a little thing that snuck up and has grown, and it's grown bigger and bigger, and it's become a weight. Y'all, a mistake is a mistake. But a sin is a sin. Thank you. And so I want to encourage you tonight to search your life. Don't let pride get in your way. Don't let fear get in your way. Don't let shame get in your way. Search your life. Is there something that has grown? Is there a little bug, like we heard the other night, that came in, and but it's gotten big and it's become something in your life? You've not dealt with it, maybe, or whatever the case may be, and has become a sin in your life. It's time to lay it down. You need to lay it down. You want this, the struggles you're having, there's a reason for it. And you won't find success unless you let go. And tonight it's as easy as letting go. But you can't hold on to it. You can't keep trying to climb this ladder to heaven with a bag of sin hanging on your other hand. You can't do it. It's going to weigh you down. You're going to fall off. You're not going to make it. And so I want to look into the Word here, and we're going to look in the 6th chapter of Romans, like I said. And I want to give you just a little background of what happened in the 5th chapter. In the 5th chapter of Romans, basically, if you look through it, Paul is speaking to the Romans and he's saying, this salvation only happened by grace and by faith. It was only because of one man's obedience that we were able to be saved. And he was trying to make a point that, it, like it was said, the blood of Jesus, without it, there's no way you can earn this salvation. You can't do it. And it says, it goes on to the end, it says that as sin hath reigned unto death, grace, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace. Try and establish that with them. And once he did that, once he made it clear, then he wanted to help them understand that that didn't mean that all the morality, all the righteousness of God was going by the wayside. And now it's all about grace. And you know, it's an interesting point. The word grace, if you follow the Greek definitions back to charis, I can't quite say it right, but charis, C-H-A-R-I-S in our spelling. It means basically the presence of God shining into somebody's life. The mercy of the Lord, to look down and say, I forgive. I have mercy. And that's what's so readily accepted and taught in the world. That's what grace is. That you just say, I'm sorry. Grace just covers everything. And you don't worry about what you're carrying. Don't worry about if there's sin in your life. It doesn't matter because grace just covers it. And that's Lord have mercy. That's not all there is to grace. By definition of the Greek word, it also means that influence of God shining out of that life. In other words, there's a change now. Now, because of grace, now you see the Lord coming out of that life. His purity, His holiness, His victory shining out of this life. By definition, grace is more than we're hearing it taught in this world. And that's my burden tonight. It says here in the 1st chapter, it says, so grace, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is that not what's taught in the world today? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Don't worry about what's going on in your life. It's so important. And you know what? Lord, help us to have the victory, to have the understanding of how to speak the truth. Because in the very next line it says, God forbid. God forbid. He's going to use those terms a few more times through this word. God forbid that we continue in sin that grace may abound. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The Lord did not make a salvation where you carry your bag of sin through life. He did not make a salvation where as you walk through life and you decide to pick up a few things and carry them with you. Well, you know what? I've got strong enough as a Christian now. I'd like to kind of pick up a few things here. This, I don't want to just say no to everything in this world. There's some things I'd like to let in. You don't think this is happening? Y'all, we need the Lord. We need to stand firm because the devil is trying to do that very thing amongst us. People, not people, us, living a saved life, but trying to convince us, look, okay, you've been really good and you've lived this long and you've done really good, and but now there's some things, it won't hurt you to pick up a few things, carry a few things. We're being a little too hard about everything here. Let's let a few things in. Let's not worry about this so much or that so much. And the Lord can help us. But there's spirit trying to destroy the purity of God, the truth of God. We have no victory without the Lord. If we begin to step back from what the Word teaches, from the truth of God's Word, we don't even have to say Church of God doctrines. Let's say the truth of God's Word. That is what has brought the victory through the years. It's souls who look at it and say, whatever it says, I'm not looking for a loophole. I'm not looking to let something into my life. I don't want anything to do with that. I want the victory. I want everything it has for me. I want true salvation. Not just words I say at a bench. True salvation is new life. We are a vessel, a human vessel. And physically we live and breathe whether we sin or not. But there's a soul inside of you that does not live with sin. As we'll read a little bit later, it's dead. True salvation is actually life. Reality, not just, well, this sounds kind of a neat way to explain it, you know, but it's really just you say you're sorry and God forgives you and you get up and you go on. No. True salvation is power. It's a true life. A new birth inside of you. That was dead because of sin. Sin killed it. Believe me, it'll kill it again. It'll still kill it today. It's killed it from the very beginning of time. In Adam's time, it killed it. It hadn't gotten any less potent. It's just as potent today. Just as poisonous. Just as deadly as it's ever been. It will still bring death. And it still brings death. But when you come to Christ and you lay down that sin, that poison that's in your life, you can't live with it still there. You have to let go of it and you have to stay away from it. But when you come down, you lay it down, new life comes inside of us. And it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. All right? I want to draw something else on the board, and I wish I was a better artist, but we'll try to make it happen. All right. I don't know a lot about corn, but when I go to the store, I buy my sweet corn to put my seed in the ground. It's red. So I don't know if that's the way y'all's is or not. But here's a little seed of corn. All right? You can take it. You hold it in your hand. You see the form of it and everything. But it's dead. basically. It's dormant. It's laying there. And you're holding it in your hands. And you decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this in the ground. I'm going to bury it. All right? So you come along and you stick it in the ground. Take this seed right here. And you put it down in the ground. Okay? Now, doing this because the reason that Paul says this right here, he goes on to say, it says down here in a little bit, I speak after the manner of men. He's basically saying, I'm trying to draw you an illustration, okay, of what's happening, what salvation is. Salvation is not taking a seed of corn and washing it off and presenting a seed of corn again. It's not just putting a seed of corn in your hand. All right? That's not a good illustration of what salvation is. All right? So put the corn in the ground. Okay? When you come up here, we're not here to just wash your corn. God's not here just to wash your corn. Put some corn in your hand and wash it. And just stand there and wait to see what happens. Make sure you have some food and water and plenty of air close by. Because you're going to be staring for a long time. Nothing. Nothing happens. That's the salvation that's being taught in the world. And it can never be any different. It can never be any different until the seed is put in the ground. When you come up here, you can't get salvation unless you're willing to be buried. You're willing for who you are, the life that you've been living, the sin that you've been taking hold of and relishing in. You know you're miserable. You know you don't have peace. That's not because I think my way's better. It's because I know God created your soul. And He made it in a way that you'll never have true peace unless you're buried. Unless you let go of that life and find new life in Him, you will never have peace because there's a soul in you that can't have peace. There's no other way to have another philosophy. You can try and maybe you find some enjoyment in life, but never find lasting peace, lasting joy. You won't find it. Not because I think, just think my way's better, but because it is. But it's more than just the way. It's the reality of the way God created us, what He put in us and all. But I can say that without a doubt. I don't have to have any. That's true. It's absolutely true. If you don't understand it, believe me. That's the way God set it up. Believe me. Because if you will, you can come up here. If you'll believe in the Lord and you'll be willing to be buried, then you can have new life. You'll find it. That, you know, there's such a. Didn't really expect to get into all this, but there's such a. You look at salvation as it's presented, salvation, and there's just a. It's just something missing. I don't know how else to say it. It's not real powerful. It's not real happy. It's not real smart. It doesn't seem to have wisdom with it sometimes. And not saying everything we do is always right, but when the Lord gets a hold of your life, He introduces those things like you've never seen them. When you truly get buried with Him and the new life that comes in you, never seen them. And it can't happen any other way. Everything else falls short. But when you're willing to be buried, it says, therefore, as we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Okay, so you've been sitting there and just washing your corn. Just saying, oh Lord, forgive me, but never really letting go. And you're looking and all you see is pieces of corn seed in your hand and nothing's changing. It's the same old, same old, same old. The ladder's still hard to climb. The sin still trips you up all the time. It's because you're not letting go. You're not burying it. You see, when you bury the seed in the ground and you put water to it, well, I don't have a green one here. But something starts growing. And it grows up. And it keeps growing. And it keeps growing. And it starts putting out fruit. Starts putting out corn. Because you put it in the ground. Because you buried it. It's the only way. You know, praise God for the way He set this world up to help us understand spiritual things. To give us understanding. You know who made this happen this way? Wasn't any farmer some way back in history. God set this up this way. He made a consistent thing through life. And that's what Paul's talking about a little bit here. He made a consistent thing that when you bury a seed, that's when it can grow. That's when it grows. You could put anything else. I picked corn tonight. You could put anything. That's the way it works. Across creation. Don't you see it's the same way with our souls? Until you really bury them. Until you really plant them in the ground. Lay it down. Let go. Put it in the ground. The newness can't come. The new life, the victory, the success in the Lord. The ability to use your both hands now. Now you got both hands free. Now you can climb the ladder. And do it well. Do it successfully. God made His salvation to be a success in your life. There's no soul, no matter how far from the Lord, no matter how dark their situation, there's no soul that when he lays his life down and surely gives himself over to the Lord can't be successful climbing this ladder. The wayfaring soul, though a fool, please, how it says it, shall not err therein, speaking of the path of life. That's what it says in the Word. He's made it in a way that it doesn't take all your... You don't need to sit here for the next 10 years figuring, hey, the Bible's the greatest book to read. Read it for 10 years. But don't wait till then to do this. This is where all the victory starts. This is where this Bible starts meaning something in our life. Man, it means... I told you I have different ways of expressing my joy. I had something in my heart tonight to just bring this up here and just kiss it right in front of you. I do that with my kids' pictures a lot. It's just like an instinct. I pick them up, I look at them, and I kiss them and all. And that's the Word of God in our life. It's so wonderful, so precious. Has such a power when we're buried with Christ. Until then, it's the greatest book in the world. Read it. But it won't light up your life until you lay it down in the Lord. So it says, therefore we are buried with Him, baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. Okay? In newness of life. Different. Correct? Different than what I've been. Shame on the world. Shame on the devil. Shame on any soul who has taught intentionally anything less. Anything less. The Lord, when He gets a hold of you, will make a change in your life. And it says that we should also walk in newness of life. Now, we've been planted with Him in death, but that's not all there is to it. Now we walk in newness of life. And it says in the fifth verse, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. So once again, likeness. Likeness of Christ. Newness of life. Alright, I want to establish that very strong tonight. It's what Satan's trying to destroy. It's my burden tonight to make sure we step out of here very clear to know the Lord's got something different for you. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Doesn't sound like it's hanging around. Doesn't sound like God's created a salvation where you just say, oh, I'm going to You know what? We sin him more or less every day, all the time. We have no victory. We just are forgiven. That's not what this sounds like to me. I can't read this. And we had a little discussion. It went out a long discussion. We just kind of mentioned in passing how that you can make the Bible say anything you want to as long as you don't read all of it. As long as you don't read it all. But you got to read it all. See, that's that soul. That's the difference. The soul that's trying to find a loophole. Well, it says, so I can do this. But the soul that really wants salvation says, give the whole thing to me. What did he say? Was it Ezekiel that he told to eat the roll? Eat it up. Eat all of it. Eat it up. And what did it say? In his particular case, it was bitter to his taste, I believe, but it was like sweetness when it went down, if I remember correctly. In other words, even the bitter has a sweet effect in our life. Even the hard things that we might receive from the Lord, this word has a way, is nothing but good. Nothing but good in our life. And so, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In one place, Jesus said, he that committeth sin is a servant of sin, a slave of sin. As clearly as he could state it, said, look, y'all, it's as simple as this. If you're living in sin, you're a slave to it. There's no... That's the man that brought our salvation. The very man brought our salvation and said, look, that's not how this is going to be. That's not how it's going to go. For he, the seventh verse, for he that is dead... Remember, we're trying to make that very important distinction. Don't come up here just to say you're sorry. Come up here to lay it down. Let go of it. Die. Put it in the ground. It won't come out a new plant. It won't come up until you come up here to die to who you are and lay down your life. When you do that, it's when salvation can happen. It says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. It's no longer, the hard devil that had your seed of corn in his hand and was holding on to it, he's had to let it go now, and it's in the ground. It's ready to grow. He that is dead is free from sin. Well, if we be dead with Christ, we believe also that we shall live with Him. When I die, when I lay it down, is when new life can happen. That's when the life comes up. It's a reality. It's not just a theology. It's a reality. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe also that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth the more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. This looks like corn. And once again, you're going to have to go with me here. This looks like Jesus. It's the same thing. It's just spiritual. This is just our soul now, instead of corn that's being planted. This looks like corn. You put it in the ground, it grows up. This, you put it in the ground, it grows up. It looks like Jesus, who it says, liveth unto God. What does it say about Jesus? You quoted the verse, Brother Clinton. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. That doesn't sound like he's carrying a bag of sin to me. Doesn't sound like it to me. Not at all. Holy. Pure. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Dead. Put in the ground. Buried. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You know, I want to say it so clearly, because tonight if you're struggling, if lust is conquering you, you need some help. You need the Lord. You've got something you need to lay down. If the power of the flesh is conquering you tonight, if sin is conquering you tonight, if it's pulling on you, you need some victory. The Lord has victory for you. And I'm not talking about just temptations. I'm not talking about just struggles. I'm talking about it brings you down into it. If you're living in that mire and you're walking in it, let's say it clearly. If you're committing sin, if you're committing adultery, if you're committing lying, if you're committing stealing, if you're committing covetousness, if you're committing hatred, I don't think anybody's sitting here tonight committing murder, but hatred. Hatred is not in the heart of the Lord for others, for people. Hatred's not there. He loves even the sinner, the vilest sinner. He loves them. What else is there? Are you doing those things? They're not going to... That's the bag weighing you down. It's why you're not successful. If you're not willing to say, you know what? I can't do this. I can't live for God and hold on to these things. I'm going to have to let them go. I'm going to have to lay them down. I can't have both. It's either hell and the devil, or it's new life in Christ. It's either hell and the devil, or new life in Christ. It's your choice. Totally up to you tonight. But you've got to lay them down. You can't go here. You can't go both places. You can't live both ways. You're going to have to make a choice. Because if you think you're living both ways, let me tell you which way you're living. You're living in sin. You're not going to live both ways. Okay. Jesus Himself said, no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. You'll either serve me or you're going to serve the devil. You can't serve us both. So it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. All right. Thank the Lord. Praise God. It's what what you said. Still remembering. Jesus set me free. Jesus makes me whole. Jesus makes me whole. Oh, thank the Lord. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness under God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Sounds like there's a power in grace. Sounds like there's a power, not just a forgiveness, but there's a power to lift us above this world. To lift us above sin. To free us from it. Like you said, not for some world to come, but right now, in this world. Paul was speaking to people. He wasn't speaking to angels. He wasn't speaking to people who had gone on to heaven. He was speaking to people like us who were living in the world at that time and telling them what the Lord had for them. You know, it's not even about the way you should be living. It's about what God has for you. And He has no other recipe. He has one recipe. And this is the way it works. His victory for us all. So it says, What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey, His servants you are to whom ye obey. I wonder tonight if we could... I don't even want to think about it. I don't know if you've ever had those thoughts about... Well, but what if the devil was standing right here? What if he was standing here? Would you really just walk up to him and say, Here I am, thank me. Oh, I'd like to go with you wherever you're going. Who would do it? No one. I don't care if you're the vilest. Tonight, if you're sitting here for some reason, you're the vilest sinner. You would not look at him and say, oh, let's go. But that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're saying, here I am, come on, I want to go with you. Where are you going? Hell, that sounds great. I can't say how foolish those words are. But that's the actions we're taking. when we sin, when we yield to sin, we're saying, come on, Satan, take me. Come on, take me. Take me where you're going. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness, heaven. Which one? One place he said, I'll divide the goats on my left, the sheep on my right. And even some of those, there's some of the goats are like, what do you mean? Why are we over here? You know, it's simple. And tonight, I want to do something for you. You know, there are truly people in this world. Well, let's just say it this way. I want to do something for you to simplify this thing. Jesus said in one place, he said, there were two sons. And he said, the first son he came to, and he said, son, I want you to go work in my field. And the son told him, he said, I will go. I'll do that. And then later on, he didn't. He didn't go do it. Even though he said he would, he didn't do it. The second son came up and said, the father said, son, I want you to go work in my fields. And that son said, no, I'm not going. But later he repented. And he went and he did the work. And Jesus said, he said, which one of these did the Father's will? What's the obvious answer? Even these Pharisees and scribes, these hypocrites that were trying to trap, there was nothing else to do but say, well, the second one. The second one did it. Y'all, we don't have to be confused. It's that simple. Do what you're supposed to. Obey. Obedience. The obedient shall inherit. I'm not meaning to make up a verse here, but let me just tell you this way. The obedient shall inherit the tree of life. Those who are disobedient and refusing to yield and do what they know is right, they inherit death. That's what we're saying. We can even, you know, you don't even have to struggle with the word sin tonight necessarily. If that's a struggle. In the world, that's such a struggle sometimes. And you can, you know, we can step past that for a moment and just say, look, it's a matter of this. Are you doing what you're supposed to? Are you not? Are you obeying the Word of God? Are you not? Jesus said it simply. He said, look, if you obey it, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll obey. You'll do what I'm telling you to do. You'll follow me. And when I correct you, you'll follow me. You'll follow my correction. You'll follow whatever it is. If that's what you're doing, then my Father and I are going to come live in you. We're going to abide in you. He says that in John in the 14th chapter. It's down kind of in the middle of the chapter. He says, we're going to come abide in you. It's that simple. But the disobedient, we won't be doing that. So it's obedience. It's as simple as that. So know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are who to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then, thank the Lord, you're set free. Hold on just a minute. Thank the Lord you're set free, but hold on just a minute. Listen. Listen. Being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. You're going to serve one or the other. You don't get set free to go on out in the world and do whatever you feel like doing now. It's not freedom just from punishment. It's freedom from sin, from the control it has on your life. You've been made free from sin. Now, you are called to be a servant of righteousness. Now when those choices come, God is with you and He will help you. And when you mess up, He will correct you. And if you listen to Him and yield to Him, like David did, the man after God's own heart, when he realized, when the truth came to him and his mistakes and his sins, and some of those just out and out sin, but yet he yielded to the Lord. He said, you're right, I'm that man. Don't worry about where was David in that moment. All that matters is when he heard the truth, he obeyed. He yielded. If you're doing that, you won't be picking up that bag. You're letting go of it. If somehow something's got around you and trapped you, when the Lord corrects you and you yield to Him, you listen to His correction and you say, okay, Lord, you're right. That's me. Lord, help me. Give me the victory. Lord, I want to live different. I don't want to live under that thing. The Lord will help you to gain the victory over those things in your life. That's called obedience. And that's what the Lord's looking for. That is as simple as that. It's not complicated. Let me just throw in something. Don't give up. When the Lord corrects you, I don't care what how foolish you've been. Don't give up. He's going to correct you. You're going to mess up. I don't know what it is. I don't need to stand up here and tell you where the Lord's corrected me. You don't need to stand up here necessarily and tell me where the Lord's corrected you. But it happens. What matters, will you listen and obey and ask the Lord for the help you need. Get close to Him. Walk with Him through that thing and let Him bring you the victory. Are you going to do that or not? Are you going to throw up your hands? In one place He said, oh, Jacob, how did He say it? I can't get it quite, but it's basically like this when He's talking in the Old Testament. He said, look, I would have helped you, but you said there's no hope. You said there's no hope. I just am going the way I'm going. There's no hope. No. When the Lord comes to correct you, follow Him. Listen to Him. Obey Him. Whatever's necessary, do it. Follow the Lord. Being made free from sin, then you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man because the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity. That's what you were. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And you were miserable. You were miserable. What fruit had you then? That's what he goes on to say. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? I don't know. Sometimes things come to me and I don't want to dwell too much on it. But the shame of sin is so shameful. And when you can get where you can really see and it opens up your eyes. And I believe truly while we're in it, many times we realize the shame. How shameful it's making love. But sometimes I just shudder. Things that are 20 years, 30 years in my past. And God's forgiven me and wiped the slate clean. But every once in a while, something will come back and I'm just shuddered to think of how foolish and how shameful. I'm ashamed. That person maybe never saw me again, doesn't know that God's changed my life. And the shame that in that moment I remember. Sin is shameful. It's disgusting. It's horrible. The Lord doesn't want you to have to live that way. He doesn't want you to be walking with your head down because of the shame in your life, because of what you've done and what you keep doing over and over, again and again, with no victory, no conquering it. That's not what God wants for you. That's not salvation. That's not victory. The Lord came to make you free. The truth will set you free. Thank the Lord. You don't have to walk in that anymore. No more. Praise God. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. This looks like corn. When my life gets buried, this looks like Jesus. Man, He was awesome. He loved... I've told my boys... Well, I've told... I don't actually know if I've told my boys this one. They'll have to vouch. But I've told other young men this. I said, you know what? Just trying to explain Jesus. And how awesome and how much of a man He was. And I'll tell them, and you... Maybe this will help some with the understanding here. I'll tell them, you know, it doesn't take much of a man to throw a punch. It takes a huge man that had all the power in the world, all the might, thousands of angels, and He just hung His head and just laid on the cross. Just hung on the cross. for us. That's amazing. The power that was in Him. The man He was. Praise God. You know what? That's exactly who we can be. We can have a life so powerful that all hell can't conquer it. All hell can't make it cringe in fear. All hell can't destroy it. We can hang on that cross and have the victory. Praise God, have the victory. God didn't make you to be defiled and disgusting and shallow, no depth. God made you to have the victory, to be mighty, to be the image of Christ in this world, the image of who He was when He was here. Now it's us. Now the world can see Him through us when we're dead and buried with Him and raised in newness of life. Now the world can see Him. That doesn't look like sin. That's a power. That's a changed life. That's what the Lord has for you. That's what the Lord has for all of us, for the whole world tonight. That's what the Lord has. It's as simple as letting go. Letting go. You can't take your sin with you. And it says, "What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death." It has been that way since Adam and Eve ate the apple. And it wasn't the apple that killed them. Their souls died in that moment. And that's God. You remember God promising, if you eat of this tree, and I say apple, it says fruit. Excuse me for saying apple. I don't think we know exactly what it was. But it wasn't the fruit that killed them. It was the disobedience. And God's not confusing. He's the same way He's always been. It's all about if you're willing to obey Him. If you're willing to obey Him. I hope tonight that you are. I hope tonight that you are. And maybe we just needed this to be able to stand firm and hold the truth up bright. Shine it bright. Because if no one in here needs it tonight, for more than that, there's a whole world that needs it. God didn't come to just save us. Those who argue so strongly for that weak form of some thing they call salvation, they need it. Just as bad. The way God talks, they need it worse. He says the rejoicing over one who was lost, being found. The Lord's looking for that. He loves the gates of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know all what that means, but that's where people come into the city. The Lord loves it. He wants to see that happening. Let's hold up the truth bright and clear. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. You pray for me.